All right, my friends, I'm sorry to say we have reached the end of Maseches Erevin. This is Perek Yud, Mishnah Tes Vav, the last of the Masechta. And we continue to discuss the topic of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, leniencies that apply in Shabbos. But the truth is that this Mishnah really is not about Shabbos at all. It has a Shabbos application, but it actually reaches beyond the scope of Shabbos. And actually, by the end of the Mishnah, we'll have a what seems like a non sequitur, going back to the topic unrelated to really largely unrelated to Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So, let's start. The Mishnah wants to consider the possibility of Sheretz Shenimtza B'Mikdash. What happens if you find a dead Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash? What do you do? So now just a bit of background to understand the concern. First of all, when we're talking Sheretz here, what we mean is one of the specific eight Sheratzim, these eight animals that are enumerated in the Psukim, in Vayikra there. A sheretz is any kind of small terrestrial creature, maybe the one that like kind of has short legs and looks like it's scurrying about. So that would be like, you know, rodents and reptiles and so on. The pasuk enumerates specifically eight of them that when they die, their carcasses carry tuma. It's actually quite a weak form of tuma. It's the weakest of the various avos of tuma, source of tuma in the Torah. And the tuma is conveyed specifically by direct contact, by maga. So just making it clear. If you have a dead sheretz that isn't on the list, just besides those eight, another sort of animal that isn't there, and you have a dead one, it doesn't convey tuma at all. But these specific eight do convey tuma, and there's a special mandate not to introduce tuma into the Beis HaMikdash or the Korbanos, and there's actually, if a person would be tamei and introduce himself coming to the Beis HaMikdash as being contaminated with tuma, there's actually an Isser Kares, a very severe penalty. But there's a law, in any rate, to have any tummy utensils, or in this case, an actual source of tumma, like a dead sheretz, in the Beis HaMikdash. So you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to remove this dead sheretz, let's call it a rat, okay? The dead rat from the temple precinct. So the question is what to do. Now, there are a number of things to consider. The first thing is the Shabbos implications, which is that a dead rat is mukta, and normally you can't move mukta on Shabbos, but here we're going to be lenient and say, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, we're not concerned with that, because we don't have tumah inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we will be required to remove the dead rat under certain circumstances from the Beis HaMikdash, even on Shabbos. So that's the Shabbos component. There are actually two other considerations, which don't have any specific application to Shabbos, and would be equally applicable outside of Shabbos. And the first of those two is that you're not allowed to become tameh in the Beis HaMikdash, then you'd be tameh, that'd be Isser Karas. That means you can't just pick up that dead rat, because then you'd become tameh by touching it. And furthermore, you can't just so simply take off, and the suggestion of the Mishnah will be, the initial suggestion will be, that Kohen Motzio Behemyano, that the Kohen should take it out using his hemyon. His hemyon is his avnet. The avnet was the sash. There are four different specific kinds of specific begadim, articles of clothing that the Kohen Hediot, the regular Kohen, must wear. And one of them is the avnet, this like long sash that goes around his waist. So he can use that sash to pick up the dead rat. Now, by doing so, you actually make the avnet tame. And there is an isser all to itself of making the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohen will use, like the avnet, to become tame. So that would be an isser from the Torah already. And yet we're going to do that. We're going to allow that to happen because we want the tumah out of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's better that the avnet become tame, because if it used the avnet, so then we're suggesting that would be better than the person using his hand directly, because the avnet, while the avnet becomes tame, the person holding the avnet doesn't become tame. Remember, the only way for the dead sheretz to convey tumah is through maga, direct contact. And therefore, he make the sheretz, the dead rat, will make the avnet, the sash, tame as a rishon, but the person holding it will remain tahor. That's better than him touching it directly with his hand and making himself tame. Then he himself would be a rishon, but the point is he'd be tame, and that would be an isser kares. That's a much more severe infraction, so you don't want that to happen. So that's the second consideration, conveying tuma to the avnet. There's a third consideration, which is you're simply proliferating tuma. Right, because you're spreading tuma around. Now there's a new article in the Beis HaMikdash, the avnet, which is tame. Nevertheless, the Tana here says it's best you do it that way, and as fast as possible, take off your avnet, grab the dead rat, and remove it from the premises. That's better, shelo lishahos esatuma, div Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Kunt Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, better to allow the avnet to become tame and let tumah proliferate than to waste time and let this tame, this tumah source, the dead rat, linger in the base of English. Do what you can to get out as fast as possible, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that seems a bit reckless because you're going to proliferate tumah, you're going to make the avnet tame, and if you don't act, it's only, we're only in sheva altase territory. We didn't do anything. We're just sheva altase means you just sort of sit in your hands and do nothing, and while that's the situation you're allowing to happen is not good, allowing tumah to linger in the base of Mikdash, that would be better, says Rabbi Yehuda, than to actively convey tumah to the avnet, which is forbidden, and to let tumah proliferate, which is forbidden. And instead, Rabbi Yehuda says, you go looking for a utensil which won't be makabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bitzavas shel eitz. Better you find some tongs made out of wood, because wooden utensils, they don't have a base kibble, a receptacle, like a place to hold things, like flat wooden tongs, think of it kind of like chopsticks. So then those can't become tame, that's the rule. Pshutekli eitz, wooden utensils that don't have receptacles, aren't tumah susceptible, and therefore that would be better, shlo larabos esa tumah, because that will then prevent the further proliferation of tumah, because once you pick up with these tongs the dead rat and remove from the premises, you, the coat will be tahor, the tongs will be tahor, the rat's gone, and everything is, you know, there's no conveying tumah to utensils in the base mikdash or letting it proliferate. All you're doing is just letting it linger around a little longer until you find those tongs, and that is the preferred approach, says Rabbi Yehuda, and the halacha would be like him, paskins the Rambam. Now, question, says the Mishnah, Mehechin Matzino So, where in the Beis HaMikdash are we talking about? The Beis HaMikdash is a big place, and there are various areas within the Beis HaMikdash of increasing Kedusha. So the question is, at what point is the presence of a dead rat such an affront to the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash that we, you know, allow Shabbos to be broken with the Muktzeh issue and move the rat? That's the question. So we have a machlokas here. The first shita is Rabbi Shim ben Nanas, who says, Motzino so min ha-heichal u-min ha-ulam u-mi-bein ha-ulam le-mizbeach to Rabbi Shim ben Nanas. So Rabbi Shim ben Nanas holds there are three specific areas, the most sanctified areas, where we simply just cannot tolerate having a dead sheretz there. And therefore, he's going to say those are three areas from where it must be removed immediately. Those areas are the Heichel. The Heichel is the actual sanctuary. It contains the Kodesh HaKadashim, which is home to the Aron HaKodesh, as well as the Kodesh, the Holy, as opposed to the Holy of Holies, which is home to the other three Kelim, the Aron, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach HaZahav. The menorah, the Aron, the where the Luchos Abris, the Ark of the Covenant, where the tablets are kept, that is in the Kodesh Kedoshim. The three utensils in the Kodesh are the menorah, the candelabra, as well as the Shulchan, the table which has the showbreads, and the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden incense altar. So that's the second place. And those two areas, as well as the Ulam, which is the antechamber, the entrance, that tall entranceway that leads into the Heichel. So those areas, no one's allowed to go under any circumstances unless they have specific business there, and only Kohanim. As well as the area called Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, there's a 22 Amma area. I mean, those 22 Amos, a Kohanim can't go unless they have business there, and also like a Kohen who has like a Balmum can never go there. So it's mostly occupied by the stairs that lead up to the Ulam, but there's also the area there to the south where you have the Kior, the Laver, and so on. So that area also, it's very Kadosh, can't be gone there by anybody at any time for nothing, and therefore those are the areas unless you're removed, from which the dead rat must be removed. According to Shimon Nanas, Rabbi Akiva is more lenient, and he said, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Makom shachayavin al zedono karas va'al shigaso chatas. Any place where you would be liable to the penalty of kares if you did on purpose, and a chatas, to bring a korban chatas, if you did on accident, by introducing tumah there. Mosham, those are the areas from which motzin also, that you must remove the dead sheretz. That means anywhere that's in the azara. It's the azara, that's the area of the 135 wide by 187 amma deep area that starts from the Ez Yisrael and moves in towards the Hechel. So that area is where one can't go if he's tamei under penalty of karas. That's what we're talking about. Ushar kol makomos, but anywhere else in the temple precincts, meaning, for example, the Ezras Nashim, that area 135 by 135, just to the east of the area we're talking about, the Azara, and even, like, let's say, the Chel around that area and so on. If you find a dead rat in those kind of areas, then kofen alav psachter. Just take a, like a kind of, they have a copper pot, and take the copper pot, put that on the dead rat so it's not unsightly, you don't see it, and wait till Shabbos is over, and then you'll promptly remove it. But we're not being lenient with Muktzah beyond the Azara, says Rabbi Akiva. According to Rishon Benanas, he would say anywhere other than the Ulam, the Heichal, and Ben Ulam Mizbeach, like meaning if you find, say, in the just Ezra's Kohanim, Ezra's Yisrael, there in the Azara, you would still put the Pesachtar, you cover it with the pot, and wait till after Shabbos. You can't be Mechal Shabbos with being lenient about Muktzah, even in the Azara, says he. The Halacha here would be like Rabbi Akiva, so says the Rambam, and therefore anywhere inside the Azara must be promptly removed, but you should wait, like Rabbi Yehuda says, to get your tongue so that you don't proliferate tumah. Just as a side point, and also to illustrate the point, if the source of tumah were something more severe than a dead sheretz, like for example, you had like say a dead dog. So a dog is not a sheretz. A dead dog is called a nevela. It's a carcass of a larger terrestrial animal. So a nevela conveys tumah not just by direct contact, maga, but even by masa, just by bearing its weight. And therefore, if a person were to use, let's say, wooden tongs, even though the wooden tongs wouldn't become tummy, the person carrying the dead dog with wooden tongs would become tummy, because tumah is conveyed by through masa, because it just bears the weight of the dead dog. And that being the case, the tongs or the avnet gain you nothing. So in such a scenario, the best course of action then is if you find the dead dog, let's say, in a place where it must be removed, like we just described, based on the machlokas, or contra bikiba throughout the entire Azara. So then the right thing to do is the Kohen just pick it up with his hands and make a run for it to get it out of the Azara. Yes, the Kohen will become tummy, and that's certainly no-no, but the problem is, no matter what he does, he'll become tummy. Whoever takes it out will become tummy by bearing its weight. So therefore, don't wait, no avnet, no tongs, nothing, just get it out of there. Okay, so that brings us to the end of that topic, which, as you see, is not really about Shabbos so much, but the Muktzah part of it certainly is, and the Chiddush is, we don't worry about Muktzah on the base of Mikdash for those kind of scenarios. But other kinds of scenarios you see, even if it means having a dead rat lingering around as a nashim, we're not going to be ignoring Muktzah, because remember, Ein Shavus of Mikdash only applies when you're talking about a Shavus, and when you're talking about something which would mess up the Avodah, and this is not that. Okay. Now, one more topic as we end the Masechta. And this is going to seem like a bit of a non sequitur. If you recall back in Mishnah Yud Gimel, of our parak over here, we talked about what's with a string that snaps in one of the instruments that they're using on Shabbos by the Levium to play music with the offering of the Tamidin. And we said that you could fix the string by tying it with a knot again, provided you're talking about a knot in the middle of the string, because that was ostensibly going to be temporary, and a temporary knot is not a Kesher Shel Kayama, therefore you're in Derabanan territory, and we're going to be leaning for that for the sake of playing music, because that's a requirement. Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't explicitly say so here or there, but Rabbi Shimon's shita is, there's a b'rais that reflects this, that he's machmir. Rabbi Shimon says, no, we're not letting you tie knots with strings in a conventional way on Shabbos, even in the middle of a string, on your, whatever it is, your harp or your guitar or lyre or whatever you're playing, because if you leave it there and you just decide it is as it is, it becomes a Kesher Shel Kayama, permanent knot, and that would be an Issur D'oraisa. And when we say Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, we're talking about where there's no possibility of this of an Issur D'oraisa happening. Shavus is like a protective fence of a Durabanan. But here, if you tie the knot and you leave it, it becomes a Kesher Shel Kayama, and therefore you're over D'oraisa, and therefore Rabbi Shimon said, no, you can never fix like that. He would only allow you to fix it if you use like a Neva, which is kind of like a bow, like how you bow your shoelaces in a bow, because that's always going to be considered a aniva, like a slip knot or a bow, is not considered to be any knot of, even if you leave it there, it's not considered to be a knot that's of any permanence, and therefore you're only in Durabanan territory at all events. So Rabbi Shimon, though it's not explicit here, back in Mishnah Gimel, Rabbi Shimon disagreed and said, we're machmir and we're not letting you tie knots in those strings, even though it's just a Durabanan. He comes up over here only because we didn't want to interrupt the series, says Tosi Yontov, we don't want to interrupt the series of shitas over there, the old Mishnayos. We're talking about various Mishnayos, talking about Ein Shvus Mikdash. We don't want to get into this point to Rabbi Shimon yet. But we're going to contrast Rabbi Shimon being strict when it comes to not letting you tie knots in the Beis Mikdash with another sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which is way back. If you remember back in the fourth parak, in the 11th Mishnah, this is Parak Dalad, Mishnah Yud Aleph, it's Daf Nun Beis, Amud Beis in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon had a very interesting leniency. This is talking about Eruvei Tchumen. Totally different topic. Eruvei Tchumen, you recall, you had 2,000 amos of a Tchum, not Eruvei Tchumen, just Tchumen. If you had 2,000 amos around the footprint of your city or whatever your Makom Shvisa is, you can't go beyond that. And there were these people who were the surveyors who were measuring 2,000 amos. And the Mishnah asked, what happens if you're running back home and you're not within the 2,000 amos as Shabbos comes in? And the Mishnah said, you're stuck. You don't get the benefit of the whole footprint of the city, and it's Erev. It's Tchum, I should say. Rabbi Shimon said, well, if you're within 15 amos, we can be lenient, and if you're within 15 amos of the measured, official Tchum, you can still be considered within the Tchum v'Shabbos, and you're free like everybody else who's a resident of the city. So that's a big leniency in a Din D'Rabbanan. And the question, the unspoken question is, why is Rabbi Shimon lenient with that, but he's strict with the D'Rabbanan of tying knots? So Rabbi Shimon's going to answer that question. It's an unspoken question with a lot of unspoken background, but that is the background. That's the unspoken question. And the Mishnah picks up with the response. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, you know why I'm lenient when it comes to the 15 amos around the Tchum, but I'm machmir tying strings on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash, because makam shehitiru l'cha chachamim, that place where the rabbis were lenient with you, meaning that the 15 amos wiggle room, that's mishalacha nasasu l'cha. They're giving you what was already yours. Meaning, since I mentioned this back then when we explained the Mishnah, since the surveyors purposely had this like kind of 15 amma fudge factor, so when we're being lenient to giving you the extra 15 amos, we're actually giving you anything. They were yours to begin with, because it's built in. This little wiggle room is built into the surveyor's measurements from the outset. So you've like sort of gained nothing. So I'm not really being lenient at all. I'm just letting you know what was yours anyways. But shelo hitir lecha ela mishum shvus. Over in the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbi said you could be lenient with certain derabbanans on Shabbos, but that's only when it's mishum shvus, when we're talking about protective fences that could never come to Isurei Torah, to breaking Shabbos midoraisa. But in the case of tying knots, since it could become midoraisa if you leave it, I don't let. Fine. And the halach is not like Rabbi Shimon, so we can put that aside. But with that, slika lacha, Maseches Erevin, mazel tov, we finished Maseches Erevin. Yishar koyach to everybody who finished, kol hakavod, and Be'ez Hashem, the next Masechta will be Maseches Pesachim.